So both sides, the Mishnah at the beginning of Sevachim addresses the issue of a machshava that was shelo lishma. And the question here is the following: how do we understand this halacha of lishma, shelo lishma? And there were two definitions. One was that you require machshava lishma in a positive sense. The other was that we don't need a machshava lishma, but rather we cannot tolerate a machshava shelo lishma. And the Brisker Rav is famous. This was the big yisod that we spent a lot of time on for proving that there's no requirement of lishma, but a machshava shelo lishma could pasul the karbon. Whether it be in the case of Chatos and Pesach, which means the carbon is completely possible, whether it's the case of the other carbonos, which are lo alu lepayel v'shem chova. And we'll mention some of the proofs of the Brisker Rav. First of all, he says the following: we have a shita of Yossi ben Choni in the Mishnah, and we have a shita of Shimon Achi Azari in the Mishnah. According to Yossi ben Choni, it really depends upon what machshava shelo lishma you had. For example, if you had a machshava shelo lishma l'shem shlomim in the case of an ola, that would not pasul the karbon. But if you had a machshava shelo lishma l'shem chatos, it would pasul the karbon. So you see that there's a halacha of a machshava shelo lishma that generates a psul. A similar proof you have from Shimon Achi Azariah, because he differentiates whether it's gavoh mehem or namach mehem. So if, for example, you had a machshava shelo lishma from kodshim down to kodshim kalim, that's going to pasul the karbon. If on the flip side you had a machshava from kodshim kalim up to kodshim, that's not going to pasul the karbon. Now all those distinctions don't make sense if there's a positive requirement of machshavas lishma. If the Torah requires in the avodas hakarbon of machshavas lishma, what difference does it make whether you're going up or you're going down, whether it's legova or lenomach? Now we began our study of Tosfos, the first Tosfos in Masechet Sevachim, which is the Tosfos Divrei Maaseh Kol HaSevachim. Do we want to move this table a little bit closer in? Would that help anybody? It might box me in. So in case of a fire, I'm in real trouble. What?
This is a record.
So Rabosai, let's fast forward. If somebody wants to call Rabbi Myers in to have to take a picture for the next update, this is great for fundraising. Alright. So let's fast forward to the last line in Tosfos. Tosfos actually refers to a sugya in Perek HaMafkid in Bav Metzia, which sort of, it's a new breath of fresh air here. You know that Bav Metzia should be relevant here to Sevachim. And the sugya there in Bav Metzia Daf Mem Gimel is addressing the issue of what's called Shlichus Yad B'Pikadon, where a shomer decides that he wants to use the object that was deposited in his possession. And the sugya vacillates back and forth whether it's enough that he made that decision in his mind, or he has to make a declaration in front of two edim that I want to use the object for my own personal use. And Tosfos here at the beginning of Sevachim uses that sugya as a paradigm for an analogy to kodshim, and he wants to know within the context of this Mishnah of shelo lishma, what do we require in order to generate shelo lishma? which again in certain karbonos would passel the korban, in other karbonos it would be mafkia the chova, the chov with chov. Is it a machshava? So it's enough that he has in his mind the machshava shelo lishma, or does it require a dibur? Let's read the last line in Tosfos. Beperek ha-mafkid pirashti hada machshava poselos bekodshim ibedibur hazevach nasa shelo lishma. Does he have to make some sort of a declaration? So the Kohen says about this ola that it's a shlomim. Oh, afilu machshava, or is it enough that he thinks in his mind, without even declaring it, nobody heard it, that it's l'shem shlomim? And Tosfos says that if you want to know what the final conclusion is, he says b'perek ha-mafkid pirashti. There I came to a conclusion. So there are 2 points here that Tosfos makes. Number one, he says that you can vacillate back and forth about this question. What is a machsheva shelo lishma? Is it just machsheva or it requires dibur? And number two, he points out that I came to a definite conclusion that just like in the case of Shlichas Yad B'Pikadon, the Shomer has to make a declaration in front of two Edim that he wants to use the object and embezzle it for his own purposes, and then he's chayev as Shalech Yad B'Pikadon, which means simply chayev ha'onsum. So too in Kodshim, it's not enough that the Kohen has a machsheves shelo lishma. He's got to make a declaration. It's got to be dibur. Machsheva is not enough. So one of the things I want to discuss with you this morning, before we get back to the Keren Ora, I still want to finish the Keren Ora's introduction to Zvachim, is this whole issue about machsheves shelo lishma, whether it requires dibur or it's enough for machsheva. And the first point I want to make here, even before we get Me'achore Apargo, you know, Lovi Akova Kora, and try to figure out what Tosfos is vacillating about, is just to make the following point. And I want to show it to you inside in a minute. There's no question in my mind that this Tosfos is based on the conclusion and the presentation of the Brisker Rav. What do I mean? If let's say I want to reject the Brisker Rav, and I want to say that as far as Machsheva Shelo Lishma is concerned, the halacha requires a machshava in a positive sense. When I do the Avodas HaKarbon, I have to have a positive machshava. And if that be the case, then whether or not he spoke out his Shelo Lishma, or he didn't speak it out, it was just machshava, pure machshava. In any event, he didn't have a machshava lishma. So I'm arguing from the opposite position. If we were to reject the Brisker Rav and assume that in Kodshim you require machshava lishma, then the entire suffix of Tosfos, where he is confused about machshava as a machshava shelo lishma, or you require a dibur, it's irrelevant. Because in both cases, what is he lacking? A machshava lishma. Whether he's lacking machshava lishma because he had a machshava shelo lishma, or is he lacking a machshava shelo lishma because he made a statement that he's shechting in shelo lishma? In both cases, absent is a machshava lishma. And in both cases, the karma would be possible. Tosfos wants to know, would the karma be possible if he had a machshava shelo lishma without a dibur? Or does he, in addition to the machshava, have to support it with a dibur? That vacillation makes sense if you're talking about a machshava poselos. So does the machshava poselos operate alone, independent of dibur, or does it require a dibur? But if you're going to claim that the Torah requires a lishma in a positive sense, then what difference does it make whether he had a machshava poselos without a dibur, with a dibur? In any event, he's lacking a machshava. So amongst the various proofs that we can deduce to support this position of the Brisker Rav, that in Kodshim the Torah doesn't require machshava, we discussed the great length, for example, stama lishma. So how do you understand stama lishma? So some would say stama lishma that we have to assume that he had a machshava lishma if he doesn't say anything to the contrary. But the Brisker Rav is saying that stama lishma operates in Kodshim because you don't need a machshava lishma. All you need is that it shouldn't be a machshava shelo lishma. Shama stama means that we don't have to assume that he had a machshava shelo lishma. And also the proofs that we adduce from our Mishnah, whether it's Yossi, whether it's Shimon Achiyazari, whatever it might be, We have now another proof, at least from Shitas HaTosfos, that Tosfos, if he raises this issue, he obviously presumes that you don't require Machshava Lishma. If he requires Machshava Lishma, the whole issue of Tosfos is absolutely irrelevant. It's purely semantics. Okay, that's point number one. Now, if you take a look, if you happen to have this photocopy, and thanks to Ben for making the copy, it's a page Chaf Aleph here that you should see. He has the Ayin Barush. So that's the last paragraph on the left column of page Chaf Aleph. Now I think it switches the order over here. Chaf Aleph is on the left side. That's okay. You know, if you're a lefty, it's very convenient, you know. If you have a left brain, right? So the Rush is a commentary on the laws of Stam. And that's called Halachas Ketanos. And there in the context of Stam, the Rush quotes Rabbeinu Baruch, one of the Chachmei Ashkenaz. Rabbeinu Baruch raises the following question. We know that there's a requirement of Lishma with regard to Sefer Torah. Let's talk about Ibud Lishma. That's undeniable, that the Ibud, when you prepare the cloth and you tan the hide, it has to be done L'shem Kedusha Sefer Torah. There's also an additional halach of Lishma in writing the Azkaros of the Sefer. Possibly in the balance of the Sefer Torah, you don't need L'shem Kedushas Hashem, but at least you might require L'shem Kedushas Sefer Torah. And we have a similar requirement of Lishma in the case of Tefillin, in the case of Mezuzah, in the case of Ksiva Saget. And Rabbeinu Baruch wants to know, in all these cases where the Torah requires a machsheves lishma, is it enough that he has a machshava, or does he require a dibur as well? If you've ever seen, I don't know if you've had the occasion to enter into a matzah factory when they're preparing shmura matzah, you'll listen carefully. You don't even have to listen carefully because they scream at the top of the lungs, L'shem matzah mitzvah. You know, they yell it out. You know, it's not enough that the person who's doing the afia, whatever he's doing, the radling, whatever he's doing, he has a machshava l'shem matzah mitzvah. No, you have to yell it out. But this was not so simple in the mind of Rabbeinu Baruch. He vacillated at this point. So yesh l'stapik, says Rabbeinu Baruch, im tzarech l'hotzi b'sfasov shehu ma'abdo l'shem sefer Torah l'shem tefil l'shem mezuzah. Oh, dilma, I'm hitting the word dilma, sagi b'machshava, machshava alone is sufficient. You know, that's going to give us another issue. How do we know that he had the machshava, eidech and then bisurin, and so forth and so on. V'chein, he says, not only in ibud sefer Torah, but also in ksiva sefer Torah, tefil mezuzah. V'chein b'ksiva saget. The be'inon k'siva lishma isagi machshava o dilma, and we're adding a few words here, tzarech lahotzi b'sfasov. So this is a very fundamental suffek of one of the Chachmei Ashkenaz, which has tremendous repercussions in so many different areas. Wherever the Torah requires lishma, automatically what pops up on the screen is, do you need a motzi sfasov that's lishma, or is it enough that he has a machshava lishma? Now Rabbeinu Baruch wants to quote Kodshim as a proof one way or the other. And he says the following. Why do I present a position here that perhaps we need lahotzi b'sfasov? What is my leg to stand on that a machsheves lishma is not sufficient? After all, intuitively, you know, the burden of proof is on you if you want to prove that machsheves lishma is not enough, but you need to be motzi b'sfasov, you got to yell out and scream, it's l'shem kedushas ha-sefer. Well, l'shem isha zu, l'shem magarish zeh. He says he has a raya, an analogy from Pigul in Kodshin. L'fisha matzinu Pigul dekosav bay, what the Torah says lo yeirotze, that because he had, let's say, a machshavas chutz l'zmano, therefore there's no ritzui karman, ubaya dibur, and yet in Pigul we need dibur. It's not enough that the Kohen had a machshava during one of the avodos of chutz lizman. He has to say it out loud. Again, where the source for this is, we'll see. But that's the premise that he's operating with. That if you assume that in Pigul, it's not enough to have machshava poselis, but you have to have a dibur, then you see that when the Torah discusses lishma, the assumption is that you need lishma that's supported by what? By a dibur. Then he has another analogy, and he wants to equate it with truma, and he says that in the case of truma, we seem to have the opposite conclusion. Because in the case of truma, we don't require dibur. You could be mafresh truma b'machshava. So for example, I have tevel in front of me, which is a mixture of chulin and truma together. All I have to have is a machshava, that on the left side it's going to be designated as truma, and on the right side it's chulin. And that's b'machshava. Does anybody here know where I'm treating you like I treat my younger students here? Where in Shas do we have the sugya of truma b'machshava? Does anybody know where it is?
From Gondos on a boat,
the Kiva, and well, that's as far as Maisus is concerned, but as far as Truma is concerned, the Sugya of all places is in the second Perek of Kiddushin. Because the second Perek of Kiddushin opens with the concept of Shlichus. And the Gemara says, Minoam. How do we know Shlichus? What's the source for Shlichus? And the Torah, the Bible itself, only addresses Shlichus in one mitzvah, and that's the mitzvah of Hafashas Truma. Atem gamatem tarimu truschaschem. Is gamatem is l'rabba shluchachem. So the Gemara says, no, you can't prove anything about shlichus from truma, because truma is isa b'machshava. Okay, we'll come back to this bleed later, but the Gemara says that truma operates in a very unique way, because what's called no sein einav b'tzadzeh v'yochel b'tzadzeh, that all you need is a machshava, and that's enough to generate a chalos shem truma. And here, you don't require dibur. So Rabbeinu Baruch wants to say that Truman, he tell us, below Dibur, Rak b'machshava. So here you see that machshava could operate and generate a chaloshe Truman even without Dibur. On the other hand, in the case of Pigel, we saw that the Torah requires machshava that's supported by Dibur. So therefore, Rabbeinu Baruch doesn't know which paradigm should set the pace or the tone for all universal cases where the Torah requires a machshavas lishma. Should we use the case of Pigel as our paradigm, and therefore you require dibur, or should we use truma as a paradigm, and machshava is enough? So here, what we want to study is a brilliant, brilliant insight here of the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Chevron Shlita. His name is Rav Shlomo Katz. I've mentioned him on dozens of occasions. If I told you, my library for Kachim is still very, very limited. Besides the Gemara, I have only two other Sfarim. I have the Keren Orah and the Nefesh Tova. Now, I don't mind paying for it, but if anyone comes up with another Sefer, just buy it for me. You know, but you have to know it's a good Sefer. So that's, So right now, this is what I have. But I'm very excited about these two Sfarim. They're keeping me busy. Okay. So he says, Yesh la'ayin tuva. This is the language of the Nefesh Tova. Ma hochiach harav Rabbeinu Baruch mimachsheves pigul. Leave out the word truma for a minute. We'll come back to truma. But what's the proof from pigul to draw conclusions about writing a Sefer Torah or writing a get? Oh, now listen to his distinction. He wants to claim that fundamentally there is such a gap, a wide world that separates Machsheves Pigul in the case of Kodshim from your classical case of Lishma, that he doesn't understand what Rabbeinu Baruch wanted to, what was he thinking to make such an equation? Why? He says the following. That how do you make a Sefer Torah into a Sefer Torah? What we call Hechsher, meaning how do you make a Sefer Torah kosher? Or how do you make a get kosher? So you and I might have said, based on everything we've discussed now, that all you need is machshava, correct? You need a machshava lishma. That's absolutely wrong. Because what makes the get into a get? What makes the Sefer Torah into a Sefer Torah?
Writing
the Sefer Torah. That's called a Maisa Ksiva. And he says the following. Hasefet Torah v'get lekachalos hechsher al yedei machshava. It's not that the machshava that he has l'shem sefer Torah l'shem get is going to make the sefer Torah to a sefer Torah or the get into a get. Ela ve'inon, and here you're turning to page chav beis. Shasiyaso tiel l'shma. In other words, he's raising the following chakira. How do we understand l'shma in get and sefer Torah? The two possible directions we could take. You could say that the Lishma generates the Hechsher Sefer, or you could say no, the Asiya is what generates the Sefer. Just that there's a Tnai in the Asiya that the Asiya has to be done Lishma. So the difference between the two definitions is as follows. In the first definition, we're saying it's the Machshava that creates the Get, or creates the Sefer Torah. In the second definition, we're saying no, it's the Ksiva, the action that creates the Get or the Sefer Torah. The Machshava is nothing more than a Tnai. In other words, there's an add-on condition that's external, that's extraneous to the actual performance that creates the get or creates the Sefer Torah. What performance creates the Sefer Torah? It's the Maisek Siva. Now, it's true that the Maisek Siva has to be done with the Machsheves Lishma, that's for sure. So now, which one is stronger? I don't know if my question is going to be understood. I may have to improve my pedagogical skills here and formulate it a little more precisely. So right now I'm going to use a word that's more gas. You know, it's not really refined. Which is stronger, would you say? So if I would compare, let's say, for example, a kudshim. And in kudshim, there's something called a machshava haposelis. For example, pigul, where he has in mind chutz lizmano. And on the other hand, I'm going to compare that to the case of lishma, which is only an add-on, it's only a condition in a maisa. And the maisa generates the hechsher. In which case would I say that machshava needs a little bit more teeth, so to speak? Why in pigul, Michael? Correct. If there's asiya, then maybe insofar as the machshav is just the tnai to give, so to speak, a gushpaka, you know, to give the final power to the maisa to generate the sefer, whether it's a get or a sefer Torah. Okay, so the machshava sort of like tags on to the maisa, but everything is inherent in the maisa. There's a tnai that the maisa has to be done with shma, but the maisa does everything. So the power is all the power to the maisa. But in the case of pigul, there it's the machshava that generates the psul. Everything else was done kidasu kidin. If I take a video camera and I look at the production of the four avodos, everything is perfect. What's lacking here is the proper machshava. Well, machshava is always a little bit flimsy. Maisa is something objective. We can sink our teeth into it. It generates a hechsher hasefer. But in the case of pigul, that you want to create a psul in the carbon, it's pure machshava. Therefore, I don't understand, he says, Rabbeinu Baruch. Rabbeinu Baruch says, no, machshava is not enough. I need what? Dibur. He says, ma raya. What's the proof for Machsheves Pigul? In the case of Machsheves Pigul, the Chalos Psul is as a result of Machshav. So therefore you might say, well, Machshav is kind of iffy, it's flimsy, it's not something solid or objective, it's his subjective thoughts that crossed his mind. So that has to be objectified. How do you objectify his subjective Machshava? With Dibur. Excellent, with Dibur. However, that has no bearing on the case of Ksiva Sefer Torah. In the case of Ksiva Sefer Torah, for that matter, Ksiva's get, I have everything objective that I need in order to achieve my goal of Hechsher. Ela what? The Torah says he needed a Machshavas Lishma to make sure that the Asiya is done Lishma. So he had that Machshava. Who says that he has to objectify? The objective Maisa is the Maisa Ksiva. So again, Rabosai, the Rosh Hashiva is making a fundamental distinction. Two categories of Machshava. One is a weaker category, it might need strength, and therefore we're going to be machazik and objectify the machshava through motzi sfasa. The other is where the machshava is playing a secondary role, and we have a maisa. In this case, the machshava doesn't need any extra chizuk. What are the two categories? Category number one is when you write a sefer, whether it be a sefer Torah, whether you write a get. Here the maisa creates the Sefer. The Chal Shev is a result of the Maisa. There's a separate Tanaya Machshava. When the Machshava is just imbuing the Maisa with its full-fledged power, I don't need to objectify and strengthen that Machshava with an extra Dibur. Masha'en came in the case of Machshava's Pigel, where the Maisa, on the contrary, would be Machsha the Karma. The Torah is Machadish that a negative Machshava, Machshava's Pigel, passels the Karma. That's a little bit odd. It's almost like you have the Maisa and the Machshava at loggerheads. The Maisa pulls me in favor of being Machshava the Karbon. The Machshava pulls me in favor of being Posel the Karbon. So how do I reconcile this? So how do I give power to the Machshava such that it can now topple over in this tug of war? It can defeat the Maisa. The Maisa itself is done by Hechsher. There's no problem here. He did the Kabbalah, the Zrika, everything else was fine. We have to certainly add something to the Machshava, and that is the Dibur. So therefore, he doesn't understand how Rabbeinu Baruch felt that if he has a leg to stand on, that Machshava is not enough, that you need Dibur. So when the Ibud HaSefer is being done, or the Ksivas HaSefer is being done, you have to yell out at the top of your lungs, L'shem Kedusha HaSefer Torah. And when the Sofer is writing the Get, he has to yell out, L'shem Ruven, L'shem Leah. And what's his leg to stand on? Because in Pigel, he has to yell out, Chutz Lizvada. It's no proof. Pigel is pure Machshava. It's Machshava that generates the Psul, the Chalos Psul. When Machshava works in and of itself, then Echinami, you need Dibur. And the Dibur is going to strengthen the Machshava. However, in the case of Ksiva, whether it's Ged or Sefer Torah, or the Ibud of a Sefer Torah, where we have an objective Maisa, the Machshava plays a secondary role. It's only a Tanai in the Maisa, and there you don't need Chizuk, you don't need Dibur.
So what do you have to say, L'shem? What do you say to this? Say L'shem, Matzah, Mrs. Matzah, when that's a Maisa?
Do you have to say it out loud? So according to the logic of the Nefesh Tova, there's no need to say it out loud. Just like there's no need for the Sofer to yell out L'shem Ish, L'shem Isha by name, or the Kosev of Sefer Torah has to yell out L'shem Kedusha Sefer Torah. Wherever the Torah requires L'shma, Machshav itself is enough. Why? Because L'shma is only a tag on to what? No. To the Maisa.
But it does cool down.
Say it again?
When the Sinner Sofer writes the Sefer Torah,
well, again, Michael, I'm not. The purpose of our discussion is not to pasken halacha l'maisa. Rabbeinu Baruch vacillates about that. The purpose is to understand. No, I'm not saying it's a chumrah. What I'm saying is that there was one side in Rabbeinu Baruch to say that I'm going to prove that you need to yell it out. And maybe la halacha l'maisa, we accept that side in Rabbeinu Baruch, and therefore we have to yell it out. But the objection is, how did Rabbeinu Baruch prove such a thing? That's what we don't understand. The logic, you know, whenever we see a proof and an analogy, it's our job to, I call it, put up your dukes, meaning fight it, you know, and play the devil's advocate. So that's what we're doing now. Rabbeinu Baruch seems to assume that he has a very strong leg to stand on, that you need Dibur. Whenever the Torah requires Lishma, it's not enough Machshava, you need Dibur, and I'll prove it to you from the case of Pigel. Our point is, we don't understand what he was thinking. Again, Halacha L'maaseh might be right. And the final maskana could be that you need the mirror, you need Dibur, you gotta run around yelling and screaming. And I invite you to, you should probably bring earplugs if you're sensitive. I have a friend who never goes to a wedding without earplugs, because the terrible. You know, as you get older in life, you know, the music gets louder and louder, if you know what I mean. So if you want to go to see the way they bake matzahs, right outside, for those who are coming tonight, on the way over to my house tonight for Lag BaOmer, everyone's hopefully coming to my house for Lag BaOmer tonight, unless you have a tiny tour, an onus from Bonaparte. But on your way over, just stop a minute before you get to my house, is Matzahs Yehuda. But I don't know if at this time of the year they're baking shmura matzahs. Now I think they're baking chometzdika matzahs. I don't know. I'm not sure. I shouldn't say. But I challenge you to go in there without earplugs, because they yell out l'shem matzahs mitzvah, they drive you up a wall. But as far as his proof is concerned, that's our responsibility as lombei Torah, you know, to be misamek in the Torah, to see if really he has a very good proof from Machshavas Pigel. Okay, let's put it on the back burners for a moment, and let's move on to Truma. Now, in the case of Truma, he says, V'chein michalos Truma shenase al yedei dibur efshe de beinul zedafka dibur velo sagi machshava. He says the following: we have a principle that truma is isa be machshava. Right, all you need is no sein eno b'tzadze v'yochel b'tzadze. So what generates the chalos truma? Did he do any action? He's got in front of him what? Teva. And all he does is he thinks that on the northern side it should be truma. Now, did he do any action? Normally, in the classical case of Afrasha's truma, he physically separates the truma from the rest of the teva. But that's not required. Machshava alone is sufficient. I'll give you a very practical example. This, again, I'm not paskining halacha l'maisa, but in terms of halacha, let's say, for example, you're stuck on Shabbos and all you have is teva. And Afrasha's truma on Shabbos is an Isur d'Rabbanan because of Gzeira Shemi Yitakein Kli Shir. It's Mechsei K'makeh B'Pach. So we don't do Afrasha on Shabbos. There's no Afrasha's truma on Shabbos. I've never seen in my life anyone be Mafrish truma on Shabbos. Have you? Okay, hopefully you haven't. Because that would be Amaratz's gedola if he saw such a thing. Yeah. But the Gemara says he's in a bind, so what should he do? He doesn't know how to eat. Everything is teva. And that's all, that's his last morsel on Shabbos. So the Gemara offers him the following option. He can circumvent the need for a Maisa Afrasha and violating the Isra Afrasha by doing no Sein Eino besides that. So it's Isra D'Machshava. Now the question arises, does he need a Dibur? According to the Rosh Hashiva, what would be the paradigm, Sammy? What would be the paradigm case where we saw that Machshava is not enough? You need Dibur? Pigul, correct? And why, says the Rosh Hashiva? Because in the case where all you need is Machshava, you don't need a Maisa, that Machshava has to be strengthened by Dibur. The same thing should apply to Truma. Again, maybe you'll make the following distinction. If he does a Maisa Afrasha, which can generate the Afrasha's Truma, the Chalos Truma, then maybe he doesn't need Dibur. And then Machshava becomes just a Tnai in the Maisa. But if, let's say, he's no Sein Eino B'Tzadze, he's being Mafrish Truma of Machshava, so in that case, he's generating Truma just with Machshava alone. In this case, maybe it needs Chizuk, and maybe we would require Dibur. The Gemara doesn't say, one way or the other, whether he has to make a declaration when he's Mafrish Truma. Like, for example, the Gemara in Bab Metzia, you remember Eilu Metzias, our old friend of Yeish. Yeish was Zol Midas, Havi Yeish, Lo Havi Yeish. Is there anyone in this class, besides myself, who studied that sugya when he was in fourth grade? At the age of, I think I was maybe 9 years old.
Fifth grade.
Maybe it was fifth grade. I went to Yeshiva Rambam, they started us off in Gemara with Yeish Shalom Midas. And I have to tell you that a half a century later, I still don't know beans about Yeish Shalom Midas. I have no clue what the Gemara is talking about.
I gave up on it.
So, it's very interesting that you start off a child in a Gemara which nobody understands. In fact, this is one of the only cases, I think there are six cases that we passed like a bayi against Rava, Yeish Shalom Midas, Lo Avi Yeish, I think he says. Right? Anyway, in that sugya, it's very interesting. The Gemara says, as a proof, with regard to Yeush, that if a person goes ahead and he's mafish truma on behalf of someone else, and he wasn't appointed as a shliach, so the question is whether that's valid. So the Gemara says it depends what his response is when the owner comes back. If he says klachalchay to yafos, he indicates that he's satisfied with Afrasha's truma, or he's not satisfied with Afrasha's truma. So the Gemara says that if he indicates that he's satisfied with the truma, the Afrasha's chalam afreya retroactively, even though he didn't appoint him as a shliach. So the Gemara wants to prove from that sugya that Yeish Shalom Midas Havi Yeish, because when he finds out that it's at the bottom of the ocean, well, that's a case Zuto Shalyah, but if he finds out that he lost this object without a simon, he's definitely going to be Mesiyash. So therefore the Yeish is Chal Lemafreya, and it's not Bisur Asil Yadot Yod, if you remember the sugya. So in any event, this idea of Klachlachay to Yafo seems to indicate that he needs some sort of public declaration to validate this truma. So there is room to postulate the possibility, at least, that Afrasha's truma, even Machshava, requires some sort of declaration, what we call Lahotzi Misvasa. And according to the Rosh Hashiva, that's very good. It's glaich. It's a simple analogy, because if the paradigm is going to be Machshava's Pigul, which passels the Karban with a Machshava alone without any Maisa, on the contrary, the Maisa goes the other direction, Lehechsher, then he needs a Dibur. And the same thing should apply logically to Truma, that Truma might require Dibur. And now let's go back to Rabbeinu Baruch. Rabbeinu Baruch says, Utruma ni telis below Dibur, Rak b'machshava. How does Rabbeinu Baruch know such a thing? Again, Michael, we're not paskining halachas here, but just saying, in the logic of it, what's compelling Rabbeinu Baruch to assume that Truma, because it's Isa b'machshava, doesn't require Dibur? Adarava, Mimokam Shebasa, you proved from Pigel that whenever the Torah requires machshava, you want to universalize that and apply it to whatever the Torah requires Lishma, that you need a Dibur. Why not apply the same logic to the case of Afrasis Truma, that since it's Isa b'machshava, it needs deep.
And this is based on the assumption that he's saying, that his postulate, that it's because there's no maisa with it, that therefore it needs that, needs to be strengthened with a maisa.
With a dibur. Not a maisa, but
well,
with a dibur.
Well, yeah, with a dibur.
A dibur is much more objective, you know, right, if he makes the statement.
But you could say that maybe there's another reason altogether why people requires, why reveals dibur. It could be because the Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want you.
As soon as you mention HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it gives a whole new ambiance. I get nervous, you know. This, the Avik Learning Center is a very frum place, so as soon as you mention HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I feel I can't live up to that.
Well, no, the fact is, it's because it's an Easter. Because it's an Easter, they want to make it harder, so before you're over on it.
Oh, I see.
You're going to be over on just B'mach Shavu.
So that's going to come up here. On, you have Chaf Gimel as well?
Yes.
Okay, so on Chaf Gimel, what? I'm sorry, I sometimes what I do is after I prepare the Shia finally, I add another page to the equation.
You have Chaf Gimel?
This is it. Rabbi Verza? You have Chaf Gimel?
Yes,
I'm right. So wait, I'll be right with you.
It's a continuation of his question.
No, I'll be right with you. I just want to point out that what he's raising is that sometimes when the Torah is machmir and creates an isur, there are all sorts of prerequisites and conditions in order to violate that isur. So I just wanted to say that we'll get to that in Birtz Hashem here on Daf Chaf Gimel, and I hope you're familiar with this concept that appears many, many times in Shas. It's really a sugya in Tmura of all places, called b'machshavto ka'ovid maisa. That sometimes the Torah feels that you're responsible and you're liable and even punishable for a machshava. Why? Because the machshava, even though it wasn't done with a maisa, but it accomplishes a maisa. So we're going to have to analyze whether in the case of Pigel, we could say that maybe he should get Malkus for Pigel because machshavto ka'ovid maisa. Right now we're saying that Pigel would be a classical case of a lav she'ein bo maisa. He's not doing anything, it's pure machshava. But when we get to Mirtz Hashem, the sugya of b'dibura ka'ovid maisa, because in Tmura you get Malkus for Tmura, because what you've created is a halos kedusha through the act of Tmura, even though you didn't do a thing, you didn't lift a finger. It was pure machshava, and yet you get Malkus for that. Go ahead, Shmuel, the floor
is yours. Very similar to what you just said, and what he was asking is about, we were mentioning the comparisons between regular kinyan and ni'ila. So they say amira legavoa can nesira lehevyakdami.
Ooh, that's an interesting concept.
That
fascinating.
It seems to really fit what we're saying, but I'm not sure exactly how. Yet.
Right. It's that you see over there also that the process of being magdish a karma
is more machmir than gneva.
Oh, so that's a whole different... I thought you meant something else. I thought you were talking about how do you make something hegdish?
Right.
So the ikar is b'machshov. I decide that this animal should be designated as a korban. But on the other hand, I need an amira. So let's say, again, we're getting into heavy issues about what's called kedushas domim as opposed to kedushas agum. But let's talk about kedushas domim for a moment, right? So if I designate this animal as kedushas damim, or this chair or this table as kedushas damim, so the halacha is amiraso legavah kemisiraso lehedja. There we clearly need a dibur. So Shmuel is pointing out, if I read you correctly, tell me if I'm wrong, that you're saying something brilliant. So therefore you have to say I'm saying it right.
I'm trying.
Yeah. I remember once in Shir, the Rav Shir, I gave him a svara, and he stops me in the middle, and he takes 20 minutes to say over the svara in his beautiful language. And then he turns to me, he says, Berzon, is that what you meant? So of course I said yes, you know. Anyway, so that is a true story. But what I want to say to you, Shmuel, is that if the ikar, if the main thrust of converting something into Kedusha's domin is his machshava, so once again, that machshava needs a certain chizuk, because he's not doing any action. In the case of kinyonim, if I want to transfer ownership over this to you, I have to do a maisa kinyon. But in the case of gavoa, I transfer ownership over this table that's mine, presumably, over to Hegdesh, to the gizbar, and I don't do any action. Elowot, I'm irasal the gavoa. So it's not enough to say that I thought and I contemplated that this should be, you know, I could sit here for 20 years and I could contemplate that this should be Hegdesh, but it's not Hegdesh. What do I need? I need Amir. Okay, let's go on. Let's go on a little bit, and then I'll, you know, just to get my feet established here in this sukkah. Okay, what we want to do now on page Chav Beis is learn a sugya later on in Masechta Zvachim. So we're sort of fast forwarding here. I'll manas to come back to our discussion. The Gemara on Daf Mem Aleph Amid Beis establishes a very unique shita of Rabbi Meir, and the Chachamim reject the shita. Rabbi Meir says the following: Kol ha'ose al das rishona hu ose. Okay, then. So, if you're looking at the paragraph Hine, about if you want to underline, if you have a pen, or if you want to borrow my pen, you could underline. I would say it's about the ninth line. I haven't counted. Kol ha'ose. It starts with the words Kol ha'ose. Okay. Now, what is the subject of this discussion? We're talking about a Machsheves Pigul that the Kohen had at the very beginning of the Avodah. In other words, the Avodah has different stages to it. For example, in the case of Menachos, he has to burn a kometz, but the kometz has to be accompanied by what's called a Lavona, which I think in English is called frankincense or something like that. And what happened was the Kohen had a Machsheves Pigul at the time that he burnt the kometz, but that's not enough to complete his Avodah. The Avodah depends upon now the Sreifas HaLevona. At the time of the Sreifas HaLevona, he didn't have any Machsheves Pigul. So Rabbi Meir says in such a case, it's Pigul. That means if somebody goes in and eats it, he's Chayiv Karis. Why is it Pigul? After all, he needs the Avodas HaLevona. It's not enough that he does Sreifas HaKometz. And at the time of the Levona, he didn't have a Machsheves Pigul. So the Gemara explains, Reish Lakish explains, that maybe we can explain Rabbi Meir based on this principle called Kol Ha'ose Al Das Rishona Hu Ose. Now, what Reish Lakish doesn't do for us, and Rashi's going to come up to bat here, he doesn't tell us why the Chachamim rejected that principle. Why did they find objectionable to this principle called Osal Das Rishona Huos? Says Rashi, V'Rabbanan Savri, what do the Rabbanan hold? Al Das Rishona Lo Amrina. We're not going to accept and embrace this principle. Elin Kein Omar Af B'Sheni, when he gets to the second Avoda, in this case the Levona, he also has to declare that this is being done for Chutz L'Zmano and therefore have the Machsheves Pigul HaPoselos. And Rashi goes on to say that Kol Machshava DeKodshim Motzi Pehu. You remember that we started our discussion today by mentioning the last line in Tosfos at the beginning of Kol HaZvachim, that Tosfos vacillates back and forth whether a machshav is enough to passel a carbon, let's say in the case of Shelo Lishma, or do I need a dibur? Do you remember that? We haven't forgotten that. Okay? And Tosfos says, take a look in Perek HaMafkin, and there you'll find my final decision about that. Rashi, in Masechta Zvachim Mem Aleph Amid Beis, seems to commit himself to the position that Machsheves Kodshim requires Motzi Mipiv Dami. So that's good in a sense, because that's the final maskon of Tosfos. So we can now set up a camp, we'll call it the Chachmei Ashkenaz, because the Rishonim from Sfarad are going to disagree. The Rambam holds that Machshav alone is enough to pass. But we have now not only Tosfos, but we have Rashi. Tosfos there in Bav Metzia and Rashi in Zvachim. They both agree that machshava is not enough, we need dibur. And again, the lumdus here is what we said before, that since the machshava is operating on its own, independent of any maisa, on the contrary, the maisa goes the other direction, therefore it has to be strengthened by a dibur. L'chora, kavonis Rashi, the kevin to be in dibur lepigul, l'hachi lo amrinon, therefore the chachamim reject the svara of aldas rishona hu osa. What is going on in this Rashi? I'll grant Rashi the premise, we'll give Rashi poetic license, that kol machsheves kodshim boy dibur, and a machsheves pigul has to be objectified by an amira. Granted. But what does that have to do with the Chachamim rejecting Rabbi Meir, who claims that kol ha'os al das rishono ha'os? That when a person starts an action with a certain machshava, well, let's assume that he continues with that machshava, unless you know otherwise, he yells and screams, I changed my mind, but in the absence of retracting and rescinding his original machshava, is al das rishono. The sefer fits into the ratio. That's Rabbi Meir's claim. No, the Rabbanu rejected. Why do they reject it? Says Rashi, because kol machsheves kodshim, what's the language of Rashi? Is motzi pehu. It's like apples and oranges here. What's Rashi combined? You know, you can have one chakira about whether machsheves kodshim requires a dibur pehu, or it doesn't require a dibur pehu. The Torah says the machshava alone is sufficient. That's a valid question. And you can come to any conclusion that you like. You can have another question, that when a person does something and he starts initially with a certain machshava, do we assume that that machshava continues throughout the maisa, or do we not? And Rabbi Meir insists that we assume that he has the same machshava at the end as he had at the kickoff. That's pretty logical. What does it have to do with kol machsheves kodshim is bimotzi bipehu? Says the Brisker Rav, a gewaldige chiddush, and I think we can appreciate this in the light of everything we've been discussing today. He says the following: what is kol ha'ose Rameir Shita kol ha'ose al das rishona hu ose? Is this a psychological analysis? Do we assume that his sof maisa was done with the same kavan as the beginning maisa? That's not what Rameir has in mind. But rather, Biuro, this on line 5, in the paragraph that starts with Bir, Shem Hiskil Lasos Lishma, if he started with Lishma, Memela Dainina Le Dechol Hamaisa Nasa Lishma. It's not a psychological analysis, a dissection of his mindset. He started with a certain kavana, he ended therefore. No, it's Halach in the Maisa. What we have to do is, we have to determine the nature of the Maisa. When the maisa was done, what kavana did this maisa have? And you don't have to have, according to Rabbi Meir, a continuous machshava, you know, befall, if you know what I mean. You don't have to say that, you know, if we would analyze his brain cells, we could say, oh, he had that kavana at the end just like he did at the beginning. Rabbi Meir says that the initial machshava, his kavana at the beginning of the maisa, It has an impact, a gushpanka, on the maisa itself. Meaning, the maisa is one complete action. As long as I can pin the tail on the beginning of the action, then I win the game. But in this case, I lose the game, because Rabbi Meir says, if you eat this karbon, you chayev kares for pigul. Why is it pigul? Since he started with the sreifas hakomets, and what did he have in mind at the time, the sreifas hakomets? He had in mind chutz lizmano, therefore the entire maisa of the avos hakarbon from beginning to end, even when he gets the lavona, is considered a maisa that was done with the machsheves pigul. Comes along the chachamim, says Rashi, and they reject this. Why do they reject it? Ulam, he says, kol zeh, when does Rabbi Meir's principle make sense? Kishu dovra tolui bekavona shebe asiya. You remember what we discussed before about Sefer Torah, writing a Sefer, or writing again. There the kavona is a tag on, and it's a tnai in the asiya. Oh, so you want to say that the machshava has an impact on the asiya. I did it, like, for example, if I sell you a cow on condition that you pay me 200 zuz, so it makes sense that I'm selling you my maisa kinyan is for the purpose of, or under the condition that you pay me the 200 zuz. And that makes sense. But in the case of machsheves pigul, What we're talking about is what? Do you remember our original fundamental distinction? It's not a t'nai of machshava in what? Help me out here, Rabosai. In the maisa, but rather, it's a machshava operating independent. And that's why, according to Rosh Hashiva, we need to be machazik the maisa, machazik the machshava, and objectify by doing what? By dibur. Then we understand the chachamim. Why? Because if you're talking about a machshava, then with regard to machshava, you need that constant machshava. The machshava pigel, which means that it was chutz lizmano, that's going to generate the psul unto itself of pigel. Then every second, you have to have that machshava's pigel in order to generate that psul of pigel. He says, Ulam, bedavar, I agree with Rabbi Meir, if it's a davar atoli v'kavona shebasiya, then you could postulate that hischil, kavona, he started with a kavona, then it's chashiv kenaisa kula biosa kavona. I'll give you an example. Let's say, for example, a Sefer Torah, the Sofer began writing the Sefer with a machshava l'shem kedusha Sefer Torah. So that's called stamo lishma, meaning from now on, the mice of the ksiva was done for the sake of a Sefer Torah. It reminds me a little bit, but please don't equate it with kavana ba'avos, right? The first bracha of Shmona Esrei is magen avos, right? So the halacha is that if you had in mind kavana at the beginning of avos, and even if the rest, the balance of your Shmona Esrei, you were out there thinking about the soccer game, you're yotze. Why? Because somehow the maisa tefila in the kickoff from the beginning was set up as a maisa tefila, and now it continues to be a maisa. So sometimes we can understand and appreciate that the machshava at the beginning of the maisa will impact on that maisa and determine its nature. Does this ring any sort of associative bell? I mean, am I telling you something that you would naturally, intuitively reject? In other words, as a halachist, I'm assuming everyone here in the room is a halachist, okay? Mm-hmm. So as a halachist, if I tell you that the machshava at the beginning of a maisa determines the nature of the maisa for the entire balance of the maisa, would you accept such a thing or intuitively reject it?
Sof maisa machshava
t'chila. Yeah, beautiful. Sof maisa machshava t'chila. That's something that should strike an intuitive bell.
How you start is how you finish.
How you start is how you finish, correct? You got to start on the right foot. You know, we can give a whole Musa shmuz about this, but now we're thinking in Allah, we're not thinking in Musa. So now, except for Alan, who's thinking about HaKadosh Baruch, he's on a very high level, but, you know, for guys on my level, I'm thinking in halachic terms, you know. Obviously, you know, Al-Banas, La-Sosa, La-Kaiva, but, oh. So come along the Chachamim, and they say to Rabbi Meir, you're right. If we were talking about something like Ksivas Sefer Torah, or Ksivas Get, where the Machshava is just a tag on, as we called it, it's a condition in the Maisa, then you're right. What's the language of Rabbi Meir? Aldas Rishona Hu Ose. Kola Ose Aldas Rishona Hu Ose. That's the language of Reish Lakish in explaining Rabbi Meir. Why is Kola Ose Aldas Rishona Hu Ose? Because he's already determined the Ksiva or the Maisa, and therefore keeps gunning. Rats Me'elov. You know, it runs on its own. But now we're talking about a Machshavas Pigel. And Machshavas Pigel, as we discussed, requires Dibur. And why is Machshavas Pigel require Dibur? Because it's Machshava independent, without a Maisa. The Machshava itself generates the... So how do you know that when we're dealing with Hilchas Machshava, that since he started with a certain Machshava, he finished with a certain Machshava? Again, I'm sure that many people before the Brisker Rav interpreted the Sugya in that way. I don't want anyone here to walk out. This is the revolution of Brisk. In Brisk, there's no such thing as psychology. You know, psychology is for psychologists. It's not for halachists. That's not an insult to psychologists. It just means that psychology is a wonderful discipline. One of the best and most reliable sciences, maybe I'm being a little facetious, that we know of. But psychology is not for a shir in halacha. Halacha operates with abstract definitions and categories and classification. So when I classify this halacha of kol ha'ose al das rishonu ose, I can't assume that that's a psychological principle. Maybe he changed his mind. You know, maybe he got smart. When he got to the Lavona, which is a very sweet smell, he finally got the message. Why am I thinking chutz lizmano? Oh, so Rabbi Meir says, nay, it's a din in the mice. come along the Chachamim, and they say, no, it's not a din in the Maisa. Machsheves Pigel works independent of the Maisa. Says Rashi, I have a proof. What's Rashi's proof for the Chachamim? Kol Machsheves Kodshim is Kemotzi Mipedomi, Kemotzi Mipehu. That in a Machshava, it's not enough to passel the Korb by saying that he thinks about the Psul of Chutzus Mano. He has to objectify it by making a statement. And what does that prove, Rabosai? When does the Machshava need a Dibur? When you're not following me. Okay. How much do I have to review? What? So again, what we said is the following. That there are two fundamentally different cases. There's a case where Machshava works independently and it's very weak and it needs Chizuk of a Dibur. And there's a case where the Machshava activates the Maisa and the Maisa generates the Hepsher. And the nafkamina is going to be whether you need Dibur. If the Machshava is working independently, it needs what? It needs Dibur. If the Machshava is just working to set up the Maisa, right, to crank up the Maisa, then you don't need Dibur. All you need is Machshava, because the Maisa does whatever it has to do. What did we say about Pigel? Which category does it belong to? Rabbi say, help me out here. Which was the first? I don't remember anymore.
Independent.
Right, then it's an independent Machshava. Oh, if it's an independent Machshava, then Rav Meir's Svara falls. You've just removed the rug from under Rav Meir. We fall into a deep hole. Because Rav Meir was built on what? On the Maisa. He wanted to say that Tchilas HaMaisa is covered the entire Maisa. That doesn't apply to Machshava's Pigel. In the case of Machshava's Pigel, I need the Machshava on an ongoing basis from the beginning to the end. And the Geshmak of it is that now we can answer why Rashi proves this, or how Rashi proves the Shitas Chachamim, by invoking the principle that Kol Machshava's Kodshim Motzi Mipehu. Which we said, if you remember the question, is totally irrelevant. It's not irrelevant. They all depend on the same yisod. They all come out of the same nakuda, the same point. And namely, what's generating the psul of Pigel? And the answer is machshav alon. If it's machshav alon, then there are two nafkamines. Nafkamina number one, I need to be machazik the machshav with what? With dibur. And the second nafkamina is that I don't apply the principle of aldas rishona. And therefore, even though he had a machshav as pigel at the beginning of the avodah, at the time of Sreifas HaKometz, the Rabbanan insists that he needs a machshav as pigel at the time of Sreifas HaLavona. And based on this, on the left column, al pizeh, Rashi explains that he has a proof to the Chachamim Shita, that we're talking about a chalos machshava poseles. Dilo shayach, he says, the reason why, according to Rashi, you need a dibur is because it's a machshava haposeles. Again, Rabosai, this all ties in with our discussion about lishma and shalo lishma. Meaning, if you're talking about a machshava shalo lishma as a machshava poseles, and we should equate it to pigul, then we're going to say that Rashi, when he mentions that you need a dibur, you can equally, although Rashi says it with regard to pigul, we could by analogy apply it and extend it to shalo lishma. Because shalo lishma, like pigul, is a machshava poseles, and Rashi says a machshava poseles, which has this incredible power to create, to generate a chalos psul, that's based on the fact that the machshava was strengthened by what? By deep. Okay. Now, in the next paragraph, he quotes a shita mekubetzes. So I'm going to leave that for you. But what I'm fascinated by is the paragraph that says behem sheikh dvar. You have that? The shita mekubetzes quotes a sugya on daf chav tes amid beis. Amar Rav Yanai mechashev bekodshim loke. What does that mean? A Kohen who has the wrong machshava, and therefore he passes the korban, gets malchus. That's the statement of whom? Rav Yana. Oh, frek Rav Ashi. How could you make such a statement? Olav shembo maisahu v'ein lokin olav. And based on this kasha, the Gemara rejects Rav Yana. Says the Shita Mekubet says, I don't understand the kasha. You and I would have asked this kasha, but the Shita Mekubet says, I would never have asked such a kasha. Why? And now we're going on to the top of page Chof Gimel. Habaperikama ditmura, there's a yesoda, yesodos. that is formulated in Tmura, that there are three exceptions to the rule of Lav Shem Bo Maisei Lokanolav. One of them is Tmura. And in the case of Tmura, he didn't do any action. All he did was make a declaration that this Behemas Chulin should replace this Behemas Kodshim. That he can't do, he can't replace, but as a result of the Tmura, the Behemas Chulin now is transformed and receives the same identical status as what? As the Behemas Kodshim, with all the dinim and all the restrictions, all the conditions. This is what I call grafting. What's it called today? Forget about grafting. Cloning. Excellent. Cloning. You see that the Gemara knew about cloning way before cloning. Actually, if you want to know where the Gemara has cloning, it's really in Zroyer. Because it has to do with Markiv, you know, when you take a plant and you replant it in another place. That has to do with cloning. But that's not for us now. There's a fellow, I think, in Silver Spring named Breuder. Do you know him? Yeah, he's a genius. So he wrote a paper on cloning in halacha. What's the halacha of cloning? The halachic response to cloning. So it was 40 pages of scientific language, so I didn't understand the word. But what I did understand is that he based it on the Sugyan Arla about Harkovas Elon. Anyway, getting back to this Sugyan. So what does Gemara say? That if you do an act of Tmura, what do you mean an act of Tmura? Tmura is only Dibur, there's no Maisa. Yet the Torah says you get Malkus. And the paradigm case is what's called Lotachsam Shar B'disho. Now normally in Lotachsa Shar B'disho, what he does is he's chosem muzzles the animal's mouth. So that's a maisa. So for that he can get Malkus. But there's a case of chosem pi par b'kol. In other words, every time the animal wants to eat, he yells at the animal, and as a result, the animal is inhibited and cannot eat. And you get malchus for that. So the Gemara says, where's the maisa here? It's a lav shem bo maisa. Gemara says b'dibura ka'avid maisa. That as a result of yelling and screaming, he basically muzzles the animal. And here too, in the case of tmura, as a result of his dibur, he generates the kedushas karbon on the tmura. So the Shita Megubetza says, I don't understand Rav Ashi. Why? Because if in the case of tmura, in the positive sense, you generate a halos karbon, a kedushas karbon through tmura, and you get malchus for that dibur, because that's considered what? The dibura ka'avid maisa hachinami here too in a machsheves shalol lishma or a machsheves pigul hare nifsal ha-karbon through this machshava the karbon becomes pasul and we should apply the principle of bidibura ka'avid maisa and the shita megubetzes now wants to support chachmei sfarad against Rashi and Tosfos. That in the case of Pigul, you don't need Dibur. Rashi and Tosfos assume that in Pigul, you need Dibur. And therefore, Rav Ashi doesn't make any sense because there's no objection to Rav Yanai. You should apply the principle of Bidibura Kovid Maisa. Comes along with Shita, and he says from the fact that Rav Ashi asked this question, it must mean that Machsheves Pigul Eino Tzarech Dibur. Ela Machsheves Halev. We have three categories of Averis. We have one Avera which requires a Maisa. We have another Avera which requires nothing more than a Machshav. And in the middle between the two, we require what? Dibur. And in certain cases, you could be Chayev Malkus for Dibur as if you did a Maisa because Bidibura Kovid Maisa. And Rav Ashi assumes that the case of Pigul is Machshava without Dibur, and therefore for sure there should be no Malkus. That clearly comes under the principle of Lav She'ein Bo Maisa because it's pure Machshava. But the middle case, which is a Dibur, and if it's the Dibur Kovid Maisa, that would generate Malkus. That has the same status as a Maisa. Therefore, says the Shita Megubetzes, Mikan Raya, from here we could undermine the Shita of Rashi and Tosfos that Machsheves Pigul requires a Dibur. Because if it requires a Dibur, then you should get Malkus for it, like Rav Yanai assumed, against Rav Ashi, because it's B'dibura Kovid Maisa. The Teretz must be that Rav Ashi assumed, as a Dover Pashut, that a Machsheves Pigul passes even without what? Even without Dibur, against Rashi and Tosfos. Again, the Shita Megubetzes is a Rishon, so he has the right to argue with Rishonim.
Maybe it seems like
there's a... Gedali, can you give me just 1 second?
No,
I just want to read the next line. I'm sorry, just... Yeah, okay, go ahead. I just want to make sure I didn't miss anything.
It seems like there's a difference, though. He's trying to compare Pigel to Tmura, and it seems like there is a fundamental difference between the two.
Because in the case of Tmura, he's generating what?
You're doing a
Kedusha's car.
You have a real Maisa here that you can say. Your Behemah is now Kodesh. You're doing a real Maisa.
And in the case of Pigel, it's just Pumfuck. It's the opposite. He's undermining the Kedusha's.
There is no real Maisa here.
So that's an answer that other Rishonim give to the Shita Mekubetzes. The Shita understands, the Shita so, that in both directions it's considered making a radical change, whether you add Kedusha to a Chula, Behemah's Chulin, or whether you remove Kedusha from a Behemah's Hegdish. But now I want to study with you. How are we doing on the clock? We're okay? Because I still want to leave some time for the Keren Orah, but I can't stop here because this becomes a brilliant chiddush over here. Be'ikar kushas hashita mekubetzes, maishno meimar deloka mishum dibura kovid maisa, lemachsheves pigel delo chashiv lei shev dibura kovid maisa. Let's go back to the original question. If we assume, like Rashi and Tosis, that machsheves pigel requires what? Dibur. Why does the Gemara classify Machsheves Pigel as low Kavid Maisa? He doesn't get Maf. It should be Kavid Maisa. Like the paradigm case of Tmura. Is Tiretz Hagrach Gimel Terutzen? Reb Chaim has three answers to the question of the Shittim Gubetzes. I get very inspired by this because usually when an Achron comes along and wants to answer a Kasha the Rishon, it's good enough, it's enough if he can come up with one answer. But Reb Chaim's mind was so fertile, it was so creative, that he came up with three different answers to the same question. So I get emotional about this because, you know, Hasidim tell Nisim, Maisa Nisim about the Rebbe. You know, the Rebbe went up to heaven at night, you know, all this kind of stuff. And again, I'm not being facetious if you accept the, you know, the Rebbe is being the Rebbe, so you tell those stories. You know, in Lubavitch, it's unbelievable. I was in Lubavitch in Milano. I heard maybe six different Divrei Torah over the course of Shabbos by six different people. It's a big simcha in the shul in Milano.
All by the Rebbe.
And it was all about the Rebbe. Like, again, nobody has to convince me of the godlessness of the Lubavitch Rebbe. I can tell you stories upon stories. But that all, there is, you know, like there is more to Torah, I think, you know, saying but I would tell you one thing. If I wanted to tell you Maisim Nisim, and I hold it's Mamish Maisim Nisim about my Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, he was not a Hasidic Rebbe, that for sure, you know. I remember I was walking with my friend Rabbi Weinberg, or Pinky Weinberg, if anyone knows him, and the Rebbe was coming up the street. So in first hall there are many doors into the building, so Pinky runs up to the door to open the door for Rav Soloveitchik. So the Rebbe says to him, "What, do you think I'm an invalid? I can open the door myself," you know. So the Rebbe was certainly not a Hasidic Rebbe. But one thing I can tell you, my son, he had an ability that no one has. He was so creative. He could say a shiur for hours, in which he, 100 brilliant guys in the shiur who couldn't figure out pshat, and he would create an entire sophisticated structure. And the next day, Rabosai, he would come in and start the sugya from scratch and say an entirely different pshat. I'll never forget, we were learning Gittin. So my friend, Rabbi Ilson, if anyone knows him, Chaim Ilson, was sitting like this, like me and you, Don. So the Rav was stuck on the sugya. He couldn't say pshat. So Chaim, who was in the shiur already, this was his sixth year in the shiur, he says, "Rebbe, we learned this sugya many years ago, and this is what you said then." And before he could finish, the Rav took his hand, banged on the table, and he said to him, "You forget what I said 6 years ago. You listen to what I say now." And Rav Moshe Tendler, I never heard it from Mipiv, but they say in his name that he learned chulin twice by the Rav. And he said, Zel Oshin, he never repeated himself, not once. Could you imagine learning the same Masechta? To me, that's my sinis. Because if a person gets a PhD, and the Rav for every Shia deserved a PhD, because he was always revolutionary and creative, how could you start from scratch? The human mind can't do such a
thing. Why would you start from scratch?
And the reason for that, you have to read the Rav's Ish Halacha, Halachic Man, because to the Rav, creativity and originality was the essence of Torah. And anything that he himself said was stale. You know, I remember once in the shiur, somebody raised his hand in the middle of the shiur, the Rav was stuck on a problem, and he said, "Rav Aaron said, So that was the time when Lakewood was in its heyday. So the Rav yelled at him, "I don't care what Rav Aaron said. I want to know what I have to say on the suit." So he says to him, "Rebbe, I didn't mean Rav Aaron Kotler. I meant your brother, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik." "Oh, what did he say?" You know, if you're a Soloveitchik, then you have to listen. So what are the three answers of Rav Chaim? Chada. Let's go through them one by one. Chada. The Neymar. Why does the Gemara assume you get Malkus from Meimar? Ovid b'diburo chalos kedusha ala behema ulahachi chashiv maisa. Ach pigul lo havi chalos kedusha. You see, we were assuming that in the case of pigul, he violates and desecrates the kedusha of the korban. That's not what it's all about. On the contrary, in the case of pigul, he generates a kedushas karbon, correct? And what is the... So why is it that as a result of pigul, you're not allowed to eat from the animal, from the flesh of the animal? You get kares for that. Ela isur ala behema. He says the following, that the halachic universe differentiates between two fundamentally different categories. One is kedusha, and the other is isur. What's unique about Meimar that upgrades it from Chiyuv Malkus to the status of B'dibura Kovid Mais is that it creates Kedusha. And this animal, which was a Behemoth Chulin, through the process of Meimar, becomes sanctified, consecrated with the Kedushas Korban. Masha Enkin, he says in the case of Pigel doesn't affect anything on the Kedusha. What Pigel generates is an Iser Pigel. And to generate an Iser, that already belongs to the world of Iser Veheter. That's not something that you could call a Maisa. You haven't changed anything in this world. You can say that you changed something in the world when the animal, instead of being a Behemas Chulin, is now a Behemas Kodshim. It's a total personality change in the animal. That's called a Maisa. But when you generate Isurim, nobody would say that because you generated an Isur, therefore you should get Malkus, it's called a Maisa. For example, Rabosai, how would I take this Heter and make it into Isur? What's that called?
Me'ila.
No, forget about Hegbish. I'm just saying, alright, we're not up to Parshas Matis yet, but if I want to take this and make it into a Chetzer Visur, what Parsha do I quote for that?
Nidarim,
right? So would anybody say that Nidarim is B'dibura Ka'avid Maisa, that you should get Malkus for a Neder? Again, there are other reasons why you might get Malkus for a Neder, but I'm just asking, under the law of Tmura, would this be considered B'dibura Ka'avid Maisa? So Reb Chaim says, no, that's not called B'dibura on Maisa. You didn't change the nature of the object. You only impose what on the object? An Isur. That's not Kedusha. The object still remains the same secular, mundane object that it was before. The Od, now we get to the second teretz. He says, the B'meimar, Isur alav hu etzem hacholas Kedusha al ha-tmura. What is the Isur that generates Malkus? It's transforming this Behemas Chulin into what? Into Behemas Kodshim. The Keva Dis Avid Kedusha, the Etzem Averis Alav. In other words, when I define the essence of the Lav, it's to create Kedusha. That's called B'dibura Kovid Maisa. I will be Pigul. Ain Halav Basias HaBehemel Pigul. Ela HaBehemo Nies Pigul. I'm going to add a word here. I hope Rabbi Chaim wouldn't get angry at me. May Ela. The lav is the machshava lechol chutz lizmano. So he says the following, Reb Chaim. How do you define the avera? There are two possible ways of defining the avera. One is to say that the impact of your machshava, your dibur in this case, is the ultimate result. We called it a totsah. You remember this? In our brisket there. The totsah is the iser. The Torah finds it repulsive to create this totsah, this effect, this impact. In other cases, the Torah says that the action itself is the avera. So in Reb Chaim's second approach, he differentiates between Meimar and Pigul, and he wants to say that the Avera of Pigul is the Machshav itself. The Torah enjoins the Kohen from having a Machshav of Chutz Lizman. That Machshav itself is the Avera. The result of that machshava is that the animal becomes osur b'toras pigul, and therefore if you eat of its meat, you chayiv kares. But masha'enkin, in contrast, in the case of meimar, of tmura, the Torah doesn't want you to create a kedushas karbon through tmura. There are the valid ways and the acceptable ways of creating kedushas karbon, but tmura is an absolutely objectionable way of creating kedushas karbon. So what's the dibura ka'avid maisa? When the maisa itself is the avera, when I can identify the avera as the maisa, that's called the dibura ka'avid maisa. But if the maisa is a result of the avera, but the avera is the dibur or the makshava, then you don't get malchus. Number three, the third answer is the following. Neymar, Kevan Shehu Bidibura, Ose es Chalosa Hegdesh, Mikra Bidibura is Ovid Maisa, Avol Machsheves Pigul, Eino Asias Ha'ono. In other words, the Torah doesn't grant man the power or the authority to create Pigul. The Torah grants man the power to have a Machsheves Pigul. The Al Yidei Shechoshev Machsheves Pigul, namely, chutz lizmano, HaTorah posla sakarva. Right, let me try to explain what I think Reb Chaim is saying in the third answer. Is that okay? All right. Does anybody have a Gemara Ksubas here? I just want to make sure I'm not... The Gemara Ksubas, how many minutes do I have? I'm going to try to... Thank you so much.
15.
Okay. Again, for anyone who has to leave, you know, please feel comfortable. I can't keep you incarcerated here, but for me, I need to, you know, otherwise it's like Novi Akovish Nivuasa. Anyway, the Gemara Ksubas establishes a principle that goes as follows. Kol milsa de isa v'tnai Isa b'shlichus, kol milsa de lesa b'tnai, lesa b'shlichus. And the Gemara establishes that shlichus and tnai are haba hatalia, they're interdependent. So if I want to know, can I make a tnai in a certain transaction, the answer to that question depends upon the answer to another question. Can I send a shliach to represent? If I can send the shliach, then I can make a tanai. If I can't send the shliach, then I can't make a tanai. So, for example, the sugya there talks about chalitza, and the sugya says that if a man does chalitza with his yavama, he cannot create a tanai. He can't say that I'm being cholitz you al menas that you pay me 200 zuz. So the Gemara asks, well, what about Kiddushin? In Kiddushin, you can make a Tanai. Harayat Makudeshli Amanasha Tidni Li Masayim Zuz. So the Gemara says the following. Kiddushin is Isa B'Shlichus, and therefore Isa B'Tanai. Masha'en Ke Chalitza, you can't say the Shliach for Chalitza. You have to do it yourself. Or Yibum, for example. Yibum doesn't lend itself to Shlichus, and therefore doesn't lend itself to Tanai. You can't be Miyabim and Isha Amanas that shall pay you 200 Zuz. Tosis asks the following question. What's going on over here? Why? The Gemara doesn't quote any psukim, there's no Xeris HaKasuv, there's no Yalfusa. The Gemara assumes an outstanding svara that if you can send a shliach, then you can make a tanai. If you can't send a shliach, you can't make a tanai. And in effect, what we're asking is, what's the difference between chalitza and kiddushin? So I heard from my Rebbe the following. He said there's a difference between das and kavana as halachic terms. Das means when the Torah gives you the ability, the authority to create a chalos. And the Torah says that's conditional, that's contingent on the fact that you have das. So for example, in the case of Kiddushin requires das. Das makne, das koda, his das, or das. But then there's something called kavon. Kavana means that I have to have in mind that this action is being done for a certain purpose. I don't have das. The chalos in this case is me'ela. It's automatic. And that's going to be the case of chalitza. Chalitza is not dependent on das. It's not a ma'isa kinyan. It's just a ma'isa bia. In fact, the Gemara says that in Das you need Daito al Gmar Bia. That's why in Kiddushin, the Kiddushin is Chal only when he finishes his Bia, but not Tchilas Bia. In Chalitza, he's Konev a Chalitza and she becomes an Eshizish with Tchilas Bia, which is called Harara. Why? Because in Kiddushin, in Chalitza, in Yibum, all you need is what, Rabbi Osai? All you need is Kavana. Kavana means that you're doing this action of Chalitza. That's what you have in mind. Where does she become? How does she become Mekudeshes, Sinatius Ish? The answer is the Torah says that after the Maisa Chalitza, she's Mekudesh. Mashenkin and Kiddushin, you are the Bailim, you are in the driver's seat to create the Chalos Ishus. And there are two Nafkabinas. When the Torah says you're endowed with Das, with the Bailus to create the Chalos, and the Torah says you can appoint the Shliach, you can decide who's going to actually represent you in the Asiyas HaMais. And you can create a Tanai. And you could say, well, I want the Kiddush to be Chal under and only under the following conditions. But in the case of Kavana, there, if you have Kavana for the Maisa, you're not creating the Chalos. The Torah creates the Chalos. And therefore, you cannot appoint a Shliach. Because everything is inheres in the Maisa. And whenever everything inheres in the Maisa, not in the Das, then your goof, your body is going to be involved in that Maisa, and then the Chalos is Chal Me'ela. So there's no Shlichus. If there's no Shlichus, then you know we're dealing with Kavana, we're not dealing with Das, and therefore there's no Tanai. So why do I share this with you? Because perhaps that's what Reb Chaim means in his third answer here. Maybe what Reb Chaim is saying is that there's a fundamental difference between Tmura and Machsheves Pigel. Machsheves Pigel is just a Kavana. He has in mind that the Karban should be eaten Chutz L'Zmano. What creates the Shem Pigel? Who creates the Shem Pigel? The Torah creates the Shem Pigel. Masha'enken, in the case of Tmura, since he's the Bala Karbon on the first Karbon, he can now become the Bala Karbon on the second Karbon. In other words, the Chalos Kedusha is a result of his Das, of his decision to be Meimir. And therefore, it's called B'dibura Ka'ovid Maisa. When do we say it's B'dibura Ka'ovid Maisa? Maisa means the Chalos, meaning the Kedushas HaKarbon. In this case, the Behemoth Kulu becomes Kadosh B'Kedushas Hegdesh through Meimir. That's in a case where he is the Bailim, he's in the driver's seat to create this Maisa of the Chalos Kedusha Sakarbon. Well, if he's the Bailim and he does the Maisa, then the Torah says that's called the Dibura Kovet Maisa, and then you incur a Chiv Malchus. Masha'enken, in the case of Pigel, there it's not you that create the Maisa, you create the Chalos Kedusha, in this case the Chalos Isa Pigel, but rather the Torah creates the Chalos Isa Pigel. So let's just summarize, Rabbi, say three answers of Reb Chaim to the Shittim of Gubetzis is Kasha. The first answer he says is that in the case of Meimer, the Iser is identical, essentially, with what? With creating the Kedushas Karbon. Mashenkin, in the case of Pigel, what is the Lav? What is the Avera? It's the Machshava. It's not the result. His second answer is that in the case of Pigel, I switched the order around, but in any event, in the case of Pigel, it's purely Machshava. And his third answer is that in the case of Pigel, it's the Torah that generates the Chalos Kiddush. Okay, we don't have that much time for the Keren Ora, unfortunately. But let me just say a few words about the Keren Ora, because this I find fascinating. And if anyone here doesn't have the Keren Ora, I have one extra copy. So, Kol HaKodem Zocha. And this is on page Hey. You may recall that the Keren Ora introduces the Ran to try to reconcile the contradictions in the Rambam. The Rambam on the one hand seems to assume in general that mitzvah strichas kavanah, but in the case of matzah, he doesn't require kavanah. So the Ran says that matzah is different. Why is matzah different than all the other mitzvahs, like shofar? Because of shekein menah. He gets physical pleasure from eating the matzah. Oh. Now we're in the paragraph that starts Matsinu, and we're three lines above the end of the paragraph. And he says the following. There's a limit to how far you can push the envelope. Einachinami mitzvahs einom tzrichas kavod in the case of matzah, because it came then. But one condition I have to grant you, and that condition is that he's aware of the fact that he's eating matzah. If somehow, I don't know, they put blindfolds on him and he thought he was eating something other than matzah, so his kavanah was to eat basar and instead he ate matzah, even the Rambam would agree that in this case, mitzvos tzrichos kavanah, and that he classifies as misasek, meaning the Rambam might hold that in the case of matzah, mitzvos einom tzrichos kavanah, because he's nene. But that's only because he's not a misasek. He's aware of the fact that he's eating matzah. So he's doing a maisa achilus matzah, and he has hanor from it, and therefore the Rambam agrees in this case he doesn't, we can waive the requirement of kavan. So he's not eating the matzah for the sake of what? Of the mitzvah of eating matzah, for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Alan, right? But he's eating matzah because he wants to eat matzah, you know, he's putting cottage cheese on matzah, he likes cottage cheese on matzah, he puts an olive on top. So in such a case, the Rambam holds, if it was Leila Pesach, and it was matzah's mitzvah, he's yotzei the mitzvah of matzah even without kavana, even though he's doing it for his own enjoyment. That's called shikei nene. But if he's not aware of the fact that he's eating matzah, it just happened to be that he ate matzah, then it's called misasek, and he's not yotzei. So what I wanted to call to your attention is footnote number chavdalit, because I found this footnote very intriguing. He says that Enochinami, there is such a shita in Rishonim, that's the shita of the Ra'ah, Rabbeinu Aaron al-Levi, who maintains that even if you don't need kavon and matzah, but nevertheless misasek is lo yotzah. But who says that the Rambam would accept such a thing? In fact, when the Rambam formulates the din of mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavona in matzah, the Rambam says in Perek Vav Milchus Matzah Halacha Gimel, Avol Matzah below Kavana Kigon. The Rambam gives the following two examples, which I don't know why he needed two examples, they're pretty much identical. Sha'ansu Goyim, the Goyim forced him to eat matzah, go figure that one out. Olistim, or robbers forced him to eat matzah. In such a case, the Rambam says, Yotza Yidei Chovasa. He's Yotze Yidei Chovos. So now, in the footnote, he wants to know, why does the Rambam assume that Misasek lo Yotze Yidei Chovos with Matzah? After all, we have a principle in Averos, which the Rambam claims is the analogy here, the precise analogy, Misasek b'chalov and varayos is Chayv HaKarma. And why? Shekein Nene. So he's not at all aware of the fact that he's eating Chalev. And nevertheless, he has to bring a karma. Why shekein nene? So you see that even in misasek, we consider as if he did the maisa, and the maisa generates whatever it generates. So therefore, on the flip side, in mitzvahs, if he did the maisa of achilas matzah, who cares whether he was aware of the fact that he was eating matzah, and therefore he's only lacking in kavana, or he was totally unaware of the fact that he's eating matzah, and he's a misasek. If misasek in chalovim varayas, which is the paradigm case, that's the Malamed here, he's Chai of Shekein Nene, then the Nilmad, which is derived from Chalov Varayis in the Ran's frame of reference, namely Matzah, is Chai of, he's Yotze the Mitzvah of Matzah, even in a case of Misasek, even if he's not aware of the fact that he was eating Matzah.
Who's he Chai for?
No, I didn't mean to say Chai, I meant to say that he's Yotze the Mitzvah of Matzah.
No,
I'm sorry.
No, I'm not talking the other way.
Oh, in Chalov Varayis, he's Chai of a Karma.
Is high for
Karma Chattas.
Not high for Mila.
No. We're talking about Chalev, not Chalev of Kodshim. We're talking about Chalev, regular Chalev Behemoth. So okay. He ate Chalev Behemoth and he's Chayev for Chalev. He was Boel and Isha, and he didn't realize it was his sister, alright? So in those cases, he has to bring a Karba. Why? Because she came Nen, even though he's Misasek. And he's not aware at all. And the flip side, according to the Ran, is misasek b'mitzvahs. So that would mean he's not aware at all of the mitzvah. And yet he's yotzei. Just like he's chayv in the case of chalov marayis, he should be yotzei in the case of matzah. So he concludes that the reason why the Keren Ora came to this conclusion, the Rambam, is because the Rambam should have told me a bigger chiddush. Why did the Rambam tell me a chiddush that he's yotzei matzah when he was forced to eat matzah? Why did the Rambam tell me he was yotzei in the midst of matzah even if he wasn't aware of the fact that he was eating matzah? Namely, even in the case of misasik. And based on that diuk, that the Rambam didn't tell me a bigger chiddush, we can assume and identify the Rambam with the sheet of the Ra'ah that in the case of misasik, he's not yotzei. You know, the basic requirement is that he knows it's matzah. He's aware of the fact that he's implementing a ma'aser b'achilas matzah. He doesn't have kavana, but he's yotzei shekein nena. Again, but now we have to come to grips. So, what's the difference between chalom v'arayis, where you're chayiv even if it's misasek, but in the case of mitzvahs, you're not going to be chayiv, you're not going to be yotzei in the case of misasek. All right, we'll stop. I think so. Is a regular shiur tomorrow?
Not Bomber.
I mean, the fire is tonight. Again, reiterating my invitation to everyone to join me for the barbecue tonight. Shul's at number 16.